That was what my column was this week. My column was thanking the people, especially the candidates who are running for seats where everybody knows they're going to lose. Because they are the people who make our democracy possible. The easiest thing to do is everybody knows you're going to lose that seat. Let's just give it up. And that's what is happening in the majority of the seats. More than half of the House races for the New Mexico House of Representatives are going to be uncontested on Election Day. That's horrible. That's not a functioning democracy. And so for those people who step up and take the time and effort to do it right, not only to just do it, but to go out there and knock on doors and listen to people and hear the concerns and go to the debates and go to the forums and fill out the questionnaires.
And put yourself out there emotionally.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think we think about that, but, you know, think all the candidates, you know, must be egotistical. And maybe they are. But putting yourself out there, I mean, we
see, I
all,
don't think that. Yes, we're all egotistical. Of course we are.
No, but we all,
but that,
we all,
that is playing to that stereotype. And that's what I'm trying to get over, is that they're all corrupt. They're all egotistical. They're all, and they're not when
they're
you
not,
meet these people.
And my point is, any of us, when we do something, whether it's go to a job interview or be in a play that's opening or make a speech, we're putting ourselves out there,
right.
You know, or invite somebody to dinner, whatever.
And you and I write a column every week. Every time that column's published, we're putting ourselves out there to the world.
Oh, that's true.
It is.
I've stopped thinking about it. I've been doing it so long.
Well, you know, I mean, here's what I think. Take your shots. You know, if you disagree, that's part of the process. Take
and
your shots.
I'm, you know, if I have so much as a typo, I'm mortified.
Oh, I've learned to live with the typos long ago.
Do want to invite people to call in, and in particular, we were doing a survey, and thanks to those of you who responded to the survey, making suggestions and telling us what shows you particularly like and don't like, and a lot of people like this show, but a couple of people also said, I don't want to hear Peter Goodman's opinions anymore, and if you're listening, call and disagree.
That's
what makes the world go around and makes good radio is honest, reasonably collegial, but frank disagreements and discussions. And,
right.
You know, that's, I think, how we learn and how we develop.
Yeah, I agree. So, once again, 575-526-5825. All right. We haven't really talked before. Where do you want to start this morning?
Well, I know I want to get to, at some point, the you know, telling people where to vote.
Early voting started yesterday, so that's an important point.
And an important point for, you know, I think most people probably know this if it's relevant to them, but it's relevant to about a quarter of our voting population. If you're not a Democrat or a Republican this year, for the first year in New Mexico, if you choose to do so, you can vote in the primary.
That's way higher than a quarter. The number of independents is way higher than a quarter.
Well, I read it in the newspaper. So
Maybe
I read it somewhere yesterday.
Yeah.
Actually, it was a voting. Somebody put out a statement on this. Somebody who probably knows more about it than you and I.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there are more independents than there are Republicans or Democrats.
Well, this said about a quarter.
Yeah, okay.
It might be about a third. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
In any case, we have semi-open primaries for the first time, and it's probably
what
worth...
does that mean? What does semi-open mean?
Okay. I had a great friend. This may sound like it's a roundabout way to answer your question. I had a great friend, law professor at University of Santa Cruz that I played pickleball with, or racquetball in those days, and he was a progressive, strident Democrat, and he voted every year in the Republican primary for the weakest Republican candidate for governor, figuring that would help the Democrats.
Okay.
You cannot do that here. If you are
sure you can. How are you going to stop it?
You're not allowed to. If you're a Democrat, you can't vote in the Republican primary.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And until
so
this
that's
year,
what they mean by semi-open.
You also could not if you were independent.
Right, right.
So semi-open means they opened it up enough that an independent.
Okay. You started with the explanation instead of because, of course, you can. All you have to do is declare the other way, and you can go in and vote however you want and mix it up however you want.
Well, you can if you do it.
Yeah, register.
You register ahead of time.
Yeah, which is
But this year, yeah, that's true. You can change your registration to Republican. But this year, without doing that, or Democrat,
yeah,
you're, this year,
if you're
all
Democrat,
you have to do
you can only
is when you get there,
gotcha.
Ask for the Republican ballot or the Democrat ballot. If you,
obviously you have to choose one. You can't vote in both.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can. You know, one of the things this thing I was reading pointed out is, you can't vote for the Democratic assessor candidate and then
the Republican
sheriff candidate.
That's right. That's
whatever.
Right.
So that's one thing I definitely wanted to mention today. And I also, right before I came in, I was reading about, let me finish on voting and at least tell people, because early voting has started. It started, just I think yesterday or today. I was rushing in at the last moment and didn't get my papers ordered, so I will get back to giving where you can vote. But interesting lawsuit and a ruling in it up in Albuquerque. Somebody has sued UNM and New Mexico, actually FOG, New Mexico FOG.
Right. The Foundation for Open Government.
Right. Has sued to get a look at how much the state pays its basketball players or football players.
Oh, yeah, that is interesting. Clearly that should be public.
One would think so because other public and the universities, of course, are resisting that. On various grounds, I think they will ultimately lose, but they're using some kind of Family and Educational Documents Act that's for some other purpose.
Yeah,
and they're also using trade secrets, saying that revealing the amounts they're paying the basketball and football players.
Good luck. That's clearly public, and they'll lose that case.
Well, the ruling was. They had moved to dismiss, and the ruling by a judge up in Albuquerque or Santa Fe was, no, the lawsuit will go forward.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know, do you want to get into the bigger topic of paying athletes and how horribly wrong that has all gone?
I guess it depends on who you are, whether you think it's horribly wrong.
Oh, I am a guy who argued for it as a sports writer right. The entire time I was a sports writer. But the way it has played out is indefensible. If you are trying to build a fan base, if you care about building, the sport and if you care about selling tickets and they get what they deserve. I mean, they went year after year after year after year, raking in money until it got to the point where the courts, after warning after warning after warning, the courts finally said, okay, we're going to act. And they did, and NCAA was completely unprepared for that, even though anybody could see it coming.
Right.
And they're in this mess right now where, to me, I've stopped watching college sports because you get attached to a player and he's gone. I mean, you get that some in pro sports, but not nearly to the degree that you get every year. It's who we're getting in the portal, who's leaving in the portal. There is so much turn and turnover.
National champion this year, Indiana, had done that particularly well, and that's why they won.
Well, that's one of the reasons they got the best quarterback, but they also had a terrific coach.
That's how they got him.
Well, that's how everybody gets all their players. I mean, that's, nobody's – recruiting is a dead art. Other people let the little JUCOs and the little schools spend their time recruiting high school players. We're going to just pick the best juniors and seniors of the crop.
I think the coach at Indiana would say at least there was some skill in picking the best players.
Of course there is.
Yeah, we picked some people who were left behind at other schools.
Of course. I'm not, the only point I'm making is from the fan standpoint, if you fall in love with Diego Pavia, well, get ready to have your heart broken.
Reminds me, you know, this is not to your point, but I was kind of, sometimes I'd let the internet show me movies or whatever. And this guy came on, it was an interview with this rather large gentleman whom I recognized. And I can't say his first name. It's something like Chiance, Pete. And he's a Navajo, Diné, who had gone to New Mexico State. And I had met him in the farmer's market. We played a game of chess, I think, or he talked while we were playing chess. And he left here with the thing you're talking about and transferred to Kentucky and eventually ended up as a walk-on. He was a walk-on in college, but he's now a walk-on in Dallas or a, you know, undrafted free agent.
Right.
So it's interesting to see. A very bright guy.
And to be clear, I'm not knocking the players.
No, I know.
It's just a horrible system. And
what would you do now? Having opened the Pandora's door.
I think the best thing I've heard is contracts, just like anything else, that when you come here, you sign a contract, you play at least 2 years. If you leave early, you can do that, but all the money you made, you got to give it back. There has to be some kind of, contracts, some legal way to bound that player, just like you have with any other employee.
Yeah, it works for me. Yeah. I mean, I'm not involved. It reminds me that one of the factors in the lawsuit is they wanted to find out there's one key player from UNM who has announced that he's transferring in the portal.
Right.
And he's going to get a lot of money from some other school. And they wanted to know, is UNM still paying him because he hasn't left school yet? He's still enrolled as a student.
Yeah, it's a mess.
Which one would think they're entitled to find out. I guess the courts will tell us in due time.
We shouldn't let the half hour go without noting that I guess we're not at war anymore.
Well, I saw two conflicting headlines. The Hill is one of the sources online that I look at. And one said they're reaching an agreement, and the other said, Trump is saying if they don't reach the agreement, we'll bomb them even worse. I don't know. I think it's interesting that we had all this, including some dead folks, Iranians, and a few from the U.S., to get back to somewhere near where we were in the original agreement.
And we're not close to it.
No.
The original agreement is oil flowing freely through the Strait of Hormuz. We're not close to that.
Well, I'm thinking about the nuclear point. I mean, the original, we had an agreement with them that apparently was, according to the international inspectors, was getting inspected better than usual.
Right.
And was working.
Right.
Interrupting their nuclear development.
Stopping it.
And, we got off that and imposed new sanctions.
By we, you mean Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Tore it up because it was somebody else's deal.
And our president.
Well, and to be clear, nobody can make a deal except him. And so he tore that one up. Iran did what everybody knew Iran was going to do. They immediately started So then we dropped the bunker buster. First time we ever used that weapon. We dropped the bunker buster. Donald Trump tells us it's been obliterated, never to return. The Washington Post puts out a report saying that's not true. He threatens to sue the Washington Post because they're just a bunch of haters. Here we are a few months later. Okay, I guess it's not obliterated. We go to war in order to prevent what we just said we obliterated. And we are no closer to reaching that goal than we were at the start. The only thing we're negotiating over now is the Strait of Hormuz, is the sanctions, is all of the stuff. Iran is saying, okay, you want us to open the Strait of Hormuz, give us this, give us that, give us the other. That's what we're negotiating over. And every time he is asked, Donald Trump says, well, they can't have nukes. They can't have nukes. We're not negotiating over nukes. We're not. The nuclear position has not changed one iota from the day this war was started. It is sitting under the same rubble that it was sitting under before. We are no closer to removing it now than we were then, and there is no plan to get us there.
All true.
So, just thought it needed to be said.
One of his underlings got mad because somebody asked, when did the president decide to capitulate on certain issues? And they didn't like that word. It's taken us backwards. It's sad. It's tragic if you consider the lives lost and if you consider the money lost. I mean, they could have probably done what they refused to do in terms of extending health benefits to people, to poor folks who need them, for the money they spent on this war that he got talked into by Netanyahu.
Yeah.
And no consultation in advance with the allies until he wasn't succeeding and he demanded that they help.
Yeah, that's not consultation, but yes.
No, that's not consultation. And, taking his soldiers home from Germany.
Right.
All sad.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about something happy. Let's change the subject. What good is going on here in Las Cruces or, in New Mexico? It's got to be something.
Oh, well, that's what makes me feel so schizophrenic, for lack of a better word, is, life is going on pretty well.
Right.
It's very nice to live in Las Cruces.
We have had a beautiful spring.
I did get angry at the guy who was parked in front of me in a right. Can I say this?
Sure.
Well, parked in a right turn line. If you're in, if there's two lanes.
Yeah.
And one of them allows you to turn right.
Yeah.
And there's not a bunch of people already in the left lane, like seven cars ahead of you. Park in the left. I mean, stop at the red light in the left lane, not the right lane, and you won't be stopping somebody who could quickly make a right turn.
Usually you don't have a choice.
No, there are a lot of places. I mean, Alameda coming to El Paseo, where there's a left turn lane.
I disagree with you on this.
And then there's two that, one says you can turn right or go straight. And even if you have
that right,
why don't you choose to help somebody who's coming behind you? I mean, this guy was parked right in front of me.
He wasn't parked. He was stopped.
Well, stopped right in front of me.
Was his engine running? You got no beef. What did he do wrong?
He didn't do anything legally wrong.
So you're saying if I plan to turn left in three blocks that I should be driving in the right lane
before
then? If
you plan to go straight. And there's only, and there's
well,
no
you're gonna change if you, turn eventually.
If you plan to go straight, and there's nobody in front of you when you get to the intersection, choose the one where people can only go straight, rather than holding up people who are going to come behind you and want to turn right. My drive to this station was one half waiting for him.
Yeah,